United States v. Evans. Mr. Anderson.
May it please the court, I'm Kent Anderson with the Federal Defender's Office of the Central District of Illinois, representing the appellant David Evans. Mr. Evans pled guilty to being a felon in possession of a firearm after the district court denied a suppression motion. Police officers found Mr. Evans in the apartment of a woman named Sandra Sanford. The court found that Ms. Sanford must have consented to the officers entering the apartment. However, based this finding on her grand jury testimony that when the officers came in and asked if Mr. Evans was there, she looked back and didn't see him on the bed. From that, the court concluded that meant the officers were already in the apartment before they asked about Mr. Evans. But the grand jury testimony doesn't actually bear that much weight. The evidence didn't show that Ms. Sanford couldn't have seen into her apartment from the doorway, or that she didn't take a look as she was on her way to the door. And as a result, since the court made its finding on an erroneous basis, the overall finding is clearly erroneous, and this court that Ms. Sanford consented to the officer's entry. Therefore, this court should reverse.
There's a little more to it than that, isn't there? I mean, both officers testified that she consented, and the officer who interviewed her before her grand jury testimony testified that she told him she consented.
There was more to it, but what the court specifically pointed to was this one piece of the grand jury testimony as conclusive in his determination. Certainly, the court could have said, I find the officers to be more believable than Ms. Sanford for whatever reason. Besides that, it's just that this one piece of evidence that he pointed to doesn't, in support of his finding, didn't bear the weight that he assigned to it.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Murphy?
May it please the court and counsel. I'm Brad Murphy, an assistant U.S. attorney from Peoria. This case presented a straightforward credibility determination to the district court, who chose to credit the testimony of the police officers over the testimony of Ms. Sanford at the suppression hearing. When the entire record is considered, the district court's decision here finds ample support, and the defendant here merely disagrees with that credibility finding. The district court's comment that is complained of by counsel and the defendant was no more than an observation that Ms. Sanford had not testified about a specific issue, and that's my fault. I didn't cover that at the grand jury. The court was explaining, however, that there were several reasons why her testimony at the motion to suppress was not credible. I'd like to list a couple or three of those. Her prior inconsistent testimony at the grand jury with regard to the consent to search and looking over her shoulder, where she did testify to such at the grand jury. Her prior inconsistent statements with regard to both the consent to enter and the consent to search to an ATF agent, and that happened on two occasions. And lastly, as you have mentioned, the prior consistent testimony of the police officers. They both indicated that they were invited in after requesting permission to enter. The government asks that the district court's finding be affirmed. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Bird. Mr. Anderson, do you have anything further you'd like to tell us?
Just one comment. As I alluded to before, the grand jury testimony wasn't necessarily inconsistent. It was actually pretty vague. The government could have fleshed that out at the grand jury, and we probably wouldn't be here, but they didn't, and that's the problem here. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.